Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the first half, I have an interesting thought experiment about UFOs. Also, take some calls, some crosstalk. Gina ran into some very interesting ghouls on a walk. We'll get into that story. First, I'll tell you about BetterHelp. Overwhelmed, anxious, depressed, BetterHelp. Online licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help. Look, people, lots going on out there. I don't have to tell you. You got to get your head straight. It's very important because once you get your head straight, then the rest follows. The body will follow. So let's work. You know, we spend so much time talking about fitness and health. What about getting your head right and let your body follow? Connect with your counselor, safe, private, online environment. Everything is shared. I should say everything that is shared is confidential. Fill out a questionnaire to assess your needs and get matched in under 48 hours. Easily scheduled secure video and phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages. And you can join the over 1 million people using BetterHelp. Right, Dawson?
BetterHelp is a truly affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code Carolla. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/Carolla. That's BetterHelp.com/Carolla. Talk to a therapist online and get help. We're back inside the toolbox and playing the greatest hits of Rocktober, from the chart toppers to the panty droppers. The national polls show Joe Biden with a lead over Trump, but here at the toolbox, the only polls we pay attention to are the ones with girls named Sparkle or Cinnamon wrapping their legs around. In the age of statutory rape rock, I think we should take our tops off in honor of this next band. They never played Jeffrey Epstein's birthday party for one simple reason. They like their girls a little bit older. The Outfield on the Toolbox.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he doesn't have an opinion on packing the court, but he did one time watch a porno called Packing the Court. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You got to get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian!
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Sonny's here today, everybody.
Oh, he is?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I just saw him walk by the booth. He must have a question or something. He's getting on the mic.
Oh.
You know, the thing about Sonny is he's hot, but he's hot like his dad because he doesn't know it.
Mm.
That's his angle. Sonny, you on the hot mic over there?
Hi. I was just going to tell Chris to let you know I was going for a walk.
Okay.
God damn, listen to that voice.
Tell you
show
what,
content.
Just pick a direction and keep going.
All right.
No need to double back.
Yeah. A good dad will know, like a salmon. A good dad will know if you're heading toward the Eagle Rock area or Sunland or Sun Valley. Or
upstream,
Valley Village. I'll know these things. So just go ahead and pick a direction and keep going.
All right, bye.
All right, have fun. All right.
So, like Brian said, Adam, you see him every day, so you might not know this. Do you know how much his voice has changed?
Yeah.
It is so much deeper.
I know. It's sad.
It's just a waste of my time.
I know.
Oh, baby.
We were going to start this band called the Silver Platters to raise enough money for mom and dad to get him an anniversary present. Yeah. But his voice keeps changing in the middle. Yeah, I realize when I lay on my deathbed, I am not going to be thinking about my life. I'm going to have episodes of the Brady Bunch and Love Boat and like Barney Miller, and they're all just going to be coalescing in my mind. I was going to be like, was that me? Was I there?
My only regret was when mom told us not to play ball in the house, and I did it anyway.
I remember that time Doc was coming on to me pretty hard. Thank God I had the dignity to... Yeah, so
this is probably way too last minute for Chris to get, but in short notice. That was a Simpsons episode where young Homer had the voice of an angel. He was the lead in the choir, in the church choir, and middle-aged Abe Simpson sitting there going, this kid's going to make me a million, and his voice starts to change right there.
I had a funny thing with Sonny, which was we were watching football earlier, so we went from the warehouse to come over here, so watch football during the day and then come over here and do the podcast. There was some guy he was telling me that the quarterback for the Ravens, whose name I always kind of escaped, Lamar Jackson, he said he ran at the highest top speed in the league this year. He ran at 21 miles an hour.
They clocked that.
And I said, there should be a segment basically called Realistic Dad, where like the guy turns to his 11-year-old and go, that's right, Lamar Jackson runs at 21 miles an hour. You eat your Wheaties, you work out, you stay focused, and you'll never fucking do that a day
in your
life.
You'll never crack 15.
It's never going
to
happen.
You'll be lucky to crack 15.
You'll be running from the law drunk at 9 miles an hour. Let's be honest. All right, so I have a philosophical question that I brought up to Dr. Drew over dinner in a parking lot the other night, and I'm curious what you guys think about this one.
Okay.
I have wondered aloud, how is it that UFOs are essentially real now? They're essentially, there's footage, there's cockpit footage. When I was growing up, there were sketches and pictures, black and white pictures of farmers pointing to the sky with some light, you know, in the distance. Some orb or something that looked like a pie tin hanging from a string. There's stuff now. There's stuff that you can't explain. There's stuff that military experts can't explain. There's stuff that people have declassified. And none of those people can explain any of this. And this footage is taken from the cockpit of F-18s from super sober trained military pilots who are basically saying what is on that radar. And by the way, it can't be a pie tin on fishing string. It's on the radar, is doing things that planes that our nation can't produce those planes, and neither can China or Russia. Nobody can produce. No one can reenact what these things or recreate what these planes are doing. And it seems to be real. It seems to be that there is actually something out there. And the general approach or the general reaction from the nation seems to be, there you go. And my entire childhood was built around UFO movies, Area 51, these documentaries narrated by Leonard Nimoy and other movies, Close Encounters and things like that. It was a big UFO is a big selling point. There's a band called UFO, which Dawson and I and Gina love from the classic rock. It was a lot of UFO talk. And then there was a whole lot of like, you gotta declassify this stuff. We know there's something
Roswell,
going on.
Roswell, Area 51, the whole thing.
There's something going on and you're hiding it from the people. And the general conceit was, well, yes, they're hiding it from the people, because if the people found out, they'd stop paying taxes. They wouldn't get up Monday morning and go to work. There's UFOs. There's something bigger than us. There's an overlord or something. So that was essentially my whole young childhood. And then there was a lull and there was no UFO talk. And now it appears as if there may be UFOs, and our society is basically built like, hey, did you see this thing about the UFOs? But what about Trump's tax returns, which would pale in comparison to an actual UFO, if there were actually UFOs?
Right.
So I started to think about it. I started to talk to Dr. Drew about it. And I was like, what is this phenomenon where we were very invested in this subject known as UFOs, and now, not so much, even though there's super compelling evidence now that there are UFOs, which my whole childhood would have been mind-blowing stuff. Like, if there was UFOs, I mean, you know, half the movies and Twilight Zones and stuff is like, UFOs! And if there was such a thing as UFO, then the Earth would stop, and we'd all stop doing what we were doing formerly, and the whole world collectively would, like, look up in the sky. But yet, here we have UFOs, and nary a word. Have you guys had any conversations with colleagues or people about UFOs?
Aside the fact that our show is the lead-in for Coast to Coast, no.
Right.
Well, did Drew have a thought? Because I have a thought. I don't know if it's a working theory, but I have thoughts.
His thought, no, he didn't. I just laid this thought upon him, which is the mainstream media doesn't seem to be interested. I've seen a spot or two on Tucker Carlson. I've heard Joe Rogan speak about it. Mm-hmm. I haven't really heard anything. I watch plenty of CNN. I haven't seen anything on CNN. It doesn't seem to be a subject that people are interested in. And I've certainly had no barroom conversations about UFOs with anybody. And here's what I'm going to posit. We, because of Twitter and Facebook and all this all roads lead to narcissism thing, we are so in ourselves now that UFOs are outside of ourselves, like way outside. Like the notion with UFOs is we would all have to drop what we're doing and pay attention to UFOs. This is literally not on the planet. It is so big. It's from the galaxy. So all the stuff you were doing, all your Facebook posts and your tweets and all this me stuff would all go away. In its place would be the UFO. And we're so in. So like in 1974, we weren't all living inside ourselves. We were looking outside of ourselves. So we're sort of looking. The space program was 15 minutes old. You know, we were trying to set records for transcontinental airlines and stuff. Like we were.
We'd stuff from the moon 5 years before.
Right. We were all living sort of through moon landings and World Series and these big events outside of ourselves. Now, because of our phones, we're all kind of staring at ourselves. We're all kind of living inside of ourselves. What did this person say? Do I like this? What did they like what I had to say? So we've turned this sort of outward gaze, which was a kind of a us at the bow of a ship, just sort of staring at the open abyss, you know, the open ocean, the beyond. We're just looking forward, and now we're looking down. Yes.
If that was the case, wouldn't then an older generation, i.e. you, Dr. Drew especially, people of that nature, be really into it, and then the younger generation maybe wouldn't? This seems more of a universal reaction.
I think we got sucked into it. I think Dr. Drew got sucked into this. Dr. Drew's the number one guy I know who's staring at his phone. He brings his phone, much to my dismay. He brings his phone in here every day that I do a podcast with him. He sets it down by him, and he's checking. He wants to know what the likes are and what people thought about this. So this will affect the 22-year-olds and the 60-year-olds on the planet equally. Sadly, it's not like video games, you know, because the video games don't play to the narcissism. This plays to the narcissism. So it sucked Drew in. It sucked me in. There are plenty of 65-year-olds that got sucked into this thing as well. And we're all just kind of looking within ourselves. And the UFOs are as far out as you can get. They are literally not on the planet. You know, it's not like, well, Russia or China or what's going on in Venezuela. It's like, no, these are galaxies 10 billion light years away. And we just seem to be interested in it. And I think we're not interested because it doesn't really directly have to do with me.
Well, I think that's a very that is a point well taken, and absolutely. But I think it is sort of phone based. I think the other reason for it that involves your phone is this very pics or it didn't happen mentality, where even Neil deGrasse Tyson has said, with everyone with, you know, say 300 billion people or whatever, 3 billion people on the earth holding a phone, and we don't have anything better than secondhand accounts and blurry images, we are a very like pics or it didn't happen society, and we're just not there yet with that kind of thing. Also, people are so jaded and so tinfoil hat the other way that if you brought this up and didn't have hard, cold facts, they would say you are distracting from the real issues. Climate change, the presidential election, Russia hacking. You're just trying to distract us.
It's an October surprise.
Yes, we're scattering in every direction.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of sort of tangible reasons. I'm just sort of thinking about this sort of psychodynamic, and I realize we're all living so much within ourselves that UFOs too far away from us and not interested.
Well, let me that's a solid theory. Let me flood another theory by invoking another one of your thoughts, which I think is very accurate. It's the Lance Bass's gay thought. So for so many years, so many people believe, yeah, of course there's UFOs, or there's a good chance there's UFOs, or sure, there's a lot of believers out there. And I think as soon as the conspiracy theory gets confirmed in any way, it's like, yep, moving on to the next one. Trump's taxes, like you alluded to, or whatever it is. Like, if we were to learn today that, oh, there was a third shooter, you know, along with Lee Harvey Oswald and someone else, would we be shocked, or would we be like, yeah, that sounds about right? Like, when's the last time you guys were shocked about something in the news? Like, maybe 9/11, like that truly blew my mind and was like a life-changing event. But when's the last time you were truly shocked as opposed to, yeah, that's what I kind of expected. That's what I was thinking.
I have to say, not to shit on your point, but because I think it's well taken, but Kobe Bryant shocked the shit out of me and blew my mind.
Right. But people, so it does happen. Yes, you're right. But people die. There are freak accidents where people die. A celebrity death is not, oh my God, someone died.
I think it was second shooter you're talking about, Brian.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm saying, like, if something came out about the Kennedy assassination, we all be like, yeah.
There's a difference between a tragic reality like Kobe and a sort of mystery with conspiracy, which is more second, you know, grassy knoll kind of thing. Like, we can all be shocked. The Kobe thing was shocking to me, but there wasn't anything that came before it that made
me make sense of it.
It was an accident.
People die tragically.
Yeah. It was like, you know, John Kennedy Jr. It's like just a crazy freakish whatever. I think Brian is right in that there is an element of Lance Bass is gay. And we think he's gay, but he won't say he's gay. And then once we find out he's gay, we're done. We're like case solved, moving on to the next case. So there's an element. There's an element of that with this UFO thing. But considering we loosely built our culture around UFOs in the 70s, and now after 50 years, it appears there are UFOs, and no, it doesn't make the eighth page of the Los Angeles Times. That's curious.
I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's the exact opposite reason that if we had a picture of an alien from another planet, we'd all lose our minds. But while it's still sort of secondhand accounts and weird, scratchy radar, like, get back to us. We're used to clearer images these days.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, this stuff is cockpit footage of
Don't get me wrong, I love it.
Stuff,
but I'm
doing stuff that planes can't do.
Right.
Look, we used to build a dream on like a shadowy figure in a cornfield in the distance, or the Loch Ness Monster, something that looked as a, we used to build a whole world around a Zero Burger. And now there is some actual footage, and we're just like, meh. I think it's an internalization thing. I think it's that all roads lead to narcissism. Like, how does this affect me? How does this affect my family? How does this affect my community? What's in it for me?
I do truly believe, and I'm not being sarcastic, that if an alien was about to kill any human being, just randomly select one on Earth and said, what's your final wish? They would say, let me get a picture with you. Let me get it up on Twitter and then you can do with me as you will.
Agreed.
So I think you're right.
All right. So there you go. An interesting thought experiment, which is aliens. There appears to be very credible footage and testimonial and things like that, that there are, we are being visited by these entities and we're not interested at all. I've had no conversations with anybody I know about it.
Can I follow up with an additional philosophical question about this? Because I've often believed, and I wonder if you guys agree with me, that the deniers, the people who are sure that there's no such thing as UFOs, there's no life on other planets, those are the real narcissists, to use your words, Adam. Those are the real narcissists because look up in the sky. Most of what you see, those are suns and other solar systems, and those represent other millions of other planets and galaxies we'll never see and we'll never visit, we'll never know. Just the odds. Of course there's got to be life on other planets. It might not be human life, might not be like, you know, the big-headed alien life, but there is life on other planets. Statistically, almost a guarantee. But yet there's people like, no, I haven't seen it, so it doesn't exist. Prove it.
Well, being sure of something where you don't really have any evidence, or being sure of something that doesn't exist or does exist with no real evidence is both narcissism, right? Like, how do you know?
I feel like one has greater odds. Like, it just the odds are such that there must be life on other planets. Of course, I have no proof, and I'm not going to stake my life on it. But it would seem likely.
Well, now we have footage.
I'd stake my life on it. Mathematically, yeah.
Well, the problem with life is like gets down to this amoeba form and stuff like that. And, you know, so that's then it becomes like, well, life, but not life as we're discussing. Yeah, but that there's a lot of footage out there now, and there's a lot of like declassified stuff. Like it's out there. No interest.
We should have George Norrie on.
George Norrie.
It's almost time for Ghost to Ghost, the Halloween episode of Ghost to Ghost. He's in. He comes back in between St. Louis and L.A. I think he's doing it from St. Louis right now. But we really should. That would be really fun.
The who is it who died? He used to do this.
Oh, not Art Bell.
Art Bell.
Was it Art Bell?
Yeah. Okay. I used to listen. I used to listen Art Bell on the ride home from Loveline every night because I think I'd get in my car about 12:05 and Art Bell would be talking about aliens or whatever was going on. He died in 2018. Art Bell did?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's gone.
Still listening to
him. All right, let's see. I had a 1780s guy. I don't know if you're ever to find that, Max Pata.
Flash now, yeah. I'll put it on your screen when I have it.
All right, look for that. There's a super offensive 1780s guy.
Oh, please tell me it's the Special Olympics one then.
No, maybe
more offensive than
more
that.
More offensive than the Special Olympics guy, and even more than custom rims. By the way, which needs to be explored as well. I don't know why I had this thought when I was playing, watching football today, but going out to dinner when I was a kid, which we didn't do, but very rare occasion we did. And when you have kids, a lot of the stuff that it was imposed on you seems sort of bizarre or even unthinkable. And I was sort of laughing to myself because when you go out to dinner in this modern age, the waiter might say to you, any dietary restrictions? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, nobody was allergic to gluten, but there were a lot of dietary restrictions, such as you cannot get the steak and langostino. You can get the burger, but no langostino. Nothing with shrimp. In it, right. Like you can get
more of a monetary restriction,
yeah, right? Financial.
You want fries, or do you want a piece of pie at the end? You're not getting the pie and the fries. Like it was a lot of no. You're not getting this and that. Those were we literally had dietary restrictions, meaning nothing from the right side of the menu, nothing from the lobster tank.
If it says MP, no.
Right. There's no market price, anything. Those were our dietary restrictions, but zero in the way of health, all in the way of price, right?
But you, I know you have some idiosyncrasies around stuff like this even now. Do you still do that? Because I do. Because I have it so ingrained in my head, well, we're not an appetizer family. We're not good enough for appetizers. Just order the main course and maybe the whole table will split a dessert.
I grew up with we didn't go out to dinner, but on rare occasion we'd go to the Sizzler with my dad, you know, when it's graduating the ninth grade. And there's a lot of like trade-offs. There was like, first off, appetizers were sort of unheard of. But
yeah, you don't do that.
If you got an appetizer, surely you couldn't get dessert. You know,
saw a dessert menu until I was in my 20s.
Really?
It was like, they'd bring it over, and before they even set it down, it was like, no, we're okay.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so I thought that was my version of dietary restrictions. Because I'm thinking about my kids. Like, they've been out to dinner 7,000 times. No one has ever told them what they could and couldn't get on the menu. All right. Oh, you got the... I don't know why I took a weird deep dive into 1780s guy. And this is the guy who I would explain life to, who was alive in the 1780s and couldn't understand our current culture because he was 1780s guy.
You got to bring him back, man. We're now with Hamilton. He's filled right in. He's hot.
Well, we'll see after you see this bit, because I thought I had no recollection of this one, but it turns out maybe the most offensive. Although, for those haters out there, the whole point to 1780s guy was trying to explain our modern day culture through his eyes, like how what we were.
It was pretty solid satire.
Oh, it was great.
And also, for those of you who are like, oh, that's offensive, it's like, no, you're missing the point. The point is that's how we used to be. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's 1780s guy, Oprah.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Oprah.
The strongest female Negro, and no one has bred her?
Well...
That was Adam Explains Oprah to 1780s guy.
Yeah.
I think that one may be...
It's problematic by today's standards.
It is. It is. But that's my thing about comedy, which is that is not making fun of Oprah. And it's not making fun of black people. It's making fun of us as we used to be.
Yeah,
they used to be accepted nomenclature.
Right. And not only that, but practices as well. And
also, that's just good business.
He couldn't figure out how she was the most powerful black woman. Like he thought she could lift. She could lift the most logs. You know, like it didn't make sense that we'd have a society where she could be a billionaire.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, and that's why I won't say my favorite. I'll say the one that I remember the most is, and you race them?
Oh, well, you can look for that. There is, that was a Special Olympics one. Yeah. I don't know. Give me a hit list of those ones. It takes a minute. I know it's tough.
Yeah, but, they're all different videos, but that was Special Olympics. One was metrosexuals, and then it cuts to, but we call them homosexuals.
Right.
And then you have custom rims, you have, genital piercings. I mean, you guys got to.
I like the internet one just because it breaks it up. But I like the Special Olympics, and I like the custom rim ones as well. Yeah, there's room for 1780s guy in today's world. Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. We got a couple calls. Maybe we can take. We got Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Here. All right. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll do some Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe we'll play a couple of 1780s guys, and we'll do that right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls. a migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers. An ACS logo pop, stick it on your phone, set it and forget it. A keto-friendly and Vinny-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
You know, with all the pedophilia going on and Pizzagate and all the exposure, you know, we do a lot of talking about all the She's Only 17 songs and all that stuff. And I'm sitting here listening to The Outfield, Your Love. I feel like they were really ahead of the movement and they deserve some props. Liking their girls a little bit older.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, well, speaking of music, I watched last night the Go-Go's special. I think it was on Showtime, documentary. Very enjoyable. Couple lessons from the Go-Go's, which is a good band. Always love the Go-Go's. Like some of their B-sides better than their big hits. Belinda Carlisle, the main singer, obviously didn't really write anything, but Jane Wedlin, I think, and others wrote a lot of the hits. And there's a kind of a quandary, and there's two sort of social lessons maybe we can glean from this. One is the early iteration of the Go-Go's had this one chick that was like, I'm punk rock, because the Go-Go's come from L.A. punk rock. And they started off as L.A. punk rock. And they started to figure out that instead of doing L.A. punk rock, why don't we do L.A. pop or some punk pop or something? Something where we could sell out a stadium versus Gazzari's. And, of course, you got the one chick who's like, wait a minute, I'm punk. And here we're going into this mainstream world. We're going into this world of selling out and mainstream and Madison Avenue and playing big venues and making money, and I'm keeping it real, you know. So her thing was like, and she was like in the punk community, and she didn't want to lose her credibility in the punk community. So as the Go-Go's, who started punk, just started drifting toward pop, she was not down with it, even though she was an early member of the Go-Go's. And at a certain point, the Go-Go's said to her, well, okay, then you're out of the band. And she was like, I've been stabbed in the back. Like, what the fuck? I'm devastated. And you could only imagine how much money she left on the table leaving the Go-Go's or being booted from the Go-Go's just before their meteoric rise and explosions and platinum records. They're the first all-girl band to play their instruments to have a number one album in the USA.
A story as old as Pete Best.
That's right. So my feeling is
Beatles,
look,
are getting too pop. He's still punk.
That's right. Keep it real.
If you want to keep announcing that you're going to keep it real and stay in the punk community, that's fine, but there's the door. Like, you've made that decision. That's your decision. Of course, people always feel stabbed in the back. Like, oh, they stabbed me in the back. It's like, yeah, they did. In a sense, they ended up having their manager fire her instead of the band, and she felt horrible and all that stuff. But ultimately, you were let go for a reason. You were making your feelings clear. You didn't like the direction. You wanted to go in this other direction, and the other four girls want to go in a different direction. So you parted ways. And maybe you're better woman than I, but you shouldn't be confused by what happened, and you maybe shouldn't even be upset. Like, this is what you wanted, and that's what you got.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of ironic, because you know what's not punk rock? Whining about being stabbed in the back. You know,
right,
punk rock,
right,
like taking your ball and going home and being like, peace out, good luck to you, I'm keeping it real, not going on and saying they stabbed me in the back.
And how many people in life build this whole construct of like, I was screwed, when in fact you weren't screwed. You're in the Go-Go's. Sorry for my voice. The Go-Go's were playing this kind of music and going toward that, and they all agreed on it, and you said no. So how is that you getting fucked over by the Go-Go's? In my mind, you could have stayed in the Go-Go's as long as you'd wanted to stay in the Go-Go's, but you chose to do something else.
And I could see, I'm not saying it's right, but I could see one of the members of the Go-Go's saying, she kind of stabbed us in the back because we were all going in this direction that made sense for us, and she just wouldn't do it. It was making it very, very difficult for us to evolve.
Yeah. The other thing, it's a good doc. I think it's just called The Go-Go's.
Yeah, it is. It's Allison Elwood, who's a really good director. She made some good 30 for 30s for ESPN. She's a solid director.
What is it coming in on Rotten Tomatoes, as long as we're going to play the game in the next segment? But
write it down.
I can't. Write it down.
Lock it in.
It's a love letter to an all girls super group who played their own instruments. I cannot imagine. And to be honest, from a guy who makes documentaries, it was rudimentary. It was well done, but it didn't blow you away. There wasn't, it didn't grab your heart by the lapels and shake it or anything. It was just a kind of nuts and bolts A, right. B, and C doc, which if you grew up in LA, as I did, if you were around during that scene on Melrose and all those old clubs and the punk scene and everything, like if you were there, it was super interesting. You know, Rodney on the Rock was in it because right. He's going to play the Go-Go's yeah. and K-Rock. And
he broke them, right? He sort of put them on the map. Initially.
Yes. All right. Let's see. So we'll have the critic score 96.
Oh, God, I went lower. I haven't seen it. I said 85.
90.
It is fresh 97%.
Wow.
Critics, 93 audience.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a well-liked movie.
Can't go wrong with it, so I recommend it. The other sort of conundrum of it that I'm always interested in, because I'm not interested in the black and the white, but I am kind of interested in the gray, which is some of the band members wrote all the songs, and others didn't write any songs. And at the end of the year, what with publishing rights and royalties, some people were getting paid a shitload of money. If you wrote
That's how it goes.
We Got the Beat, if you wrote that song, if you wrote Vacation, you're getting mm-hmm. paid, and the chick who didn't help, who's just playing the drums, she's not getting paid. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of gets to the point where it's like, well, we're in a band, some people are getting rich and others aren't. So then you kind of go, well, how should we do this? Well, you could argue that Belinda Carlisle, the lead singer, who didn't write the songs, but shouldn't she get some credit for bringing those songs to life through her vocal stylings? Even if you say her look, you know what I mean? Like
her showmanship.
It's awesome. I'd have some thoughts on this, but it's been well established that, you know, you write the songs. That's where the money is. That's where the Malibu coastline house is. You know, you
right.
could be in the band and get money from touring, or you could write the songs and never work another day in your life.
But what about just within the band? Like, what if you're Belinda Carlisle and you go, okay, I didn't write the song, but I'm shaking my moneymaker all over that video. I'm looking hot and fresh. The reason we're getting all the spins on MTV is if I look like Mama Cass Elliott, let's face it, we're not getting those kind of spins. I'm putting my own styling, my own flavor on it. You know what I mean? Like, why shouldn't I get some compensation for what I'm bringing to the song? I don't have super strong feelings. It's kind of both ways. But what happened was is at some point, they went to their, you know, they got the big time management company after going to number one and doing, you know, it's a story as old as the Bible. But at some point, the management company said, look, we just got to whack the money up five ways. We're just going to whack it up five ways. And Jane Wiedlin, who wrote all those songs, was like, I busted my ass on those songs while these chicks were like partying or asleep on the tour bus. I was the one who was up writing the songs. I'm not going to whack it all up five ways. And there were like, Jane Whelan was kind of interesting. She's a little sort of impish bass player gal. Mm-hmm. She was like, look, for the next record, we can do it that way. Mm-hmm. But for this record...
Yeah, what's been established is done.
I wrote all these songs. I put in all the work. Mm-hmm. And I want to be compensated for it. And they were like, no, we're going to do it on this record.
There's a couple of guys named Lennon McCartney who might have something to say about that.
And of course, what happened is Jane Whelan, who wrote all the songs, went, okay, well, then I'm out. And then
good luck.
When the person who wrote all the songs or was a part of all the hits that were laid out, mm-hmm. when she leaves, it was like, all right, well, now you don't have it. Belinda Carlisle doesn't write hits or songs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because my thought is her reward, Belinda Carlisle's reward for doing all that she did, was a very successful solo career. She was the face of the band. She was good looking. She could sing. She was a performer. She had a successful solo career, and thus your delayed reward comes at some point.
And my age or probably a little bit older, if you grew up on the Go-Go's or at least knew them when you were little, the only person you can name is Belinda Carlisle.
Yes. And also, when they're selling out stadiums, Belinda Carlisle's getting paid. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not all about...
Yeah, you're like your peer indentured servitude. It's interesting you mentioned that because there's so many examples. Dawson probably knows 10 times as many as me, but like bands that really kind of did screw a member like right before they got big. Like we mentioned Pete Best. He did kind of get screwed. I mean, he got left out in the cold. Famously, your friend, Natalie Maines, the Dixie Chicks were around for a few years, kind of floundering, not doing much. And to put it very politely, they had a... not as telegenic lead singer. Like she just wasn't Natalie Maines. And they fired her and brought in Natalie Maines. And then they became the Dixie Chicks we all know. And it was kind of a dick move. And they talked about it in Behind the Music. But at the same time, they never would have been the Dixie Chicks. So,
well, and also, and depending on who was on Loveline, how long ago, do you remember there were two other children? Two other of Destiny's children.
Oh, Destiny, yeah. Destiny's child. That just kind of sucks. But.
Black Eyed Peas had a different chick before
Fergie.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm glad you brought that up because I got to get my daughter into the Dixie Chicks because I'm telling you, the greatest moment of my dad bod life was driving my daughter and her couple friends to the snow a year and a half ago. And Fergalicious came up and they were all jamming away to Fergalicious and then turned the radio down. I was like, yeah, I remember when Fergalicious was hitting pretty hard on your pops at that party back in the day. And all the 13-year-old girls were like, what? Get the fuck out of here. And I was like, yeah.
I called her Sarah.
Yeah, that happened. But there's a Natalie Maines version of that one too, if I can ever get my daughter into the Dixie Chicks. All right. So anyway, interesting doc. I think you guys will like mm-hmm. it. And like, again, some sort of nuanced quandaries there of life. And and it's always funny when you see that there were probably three, maybe four members of the Go-Go's who were there at the beginning or even sort of the middle beginning, but didn't end up at the stadium at the end. Never made that part. And that's a crazy legacy they'll have.
Speaking of movies, can I just tell you, yesterday we had first of all, I went into a fugue state at Whole Foods because everything was 50% off. But when I got home and calmed down and had a cigarette and took a shower and really just focused and meditated because that took a lot out of me. We watched so many movies and two I've never seen before. I'd never seen Monster. Charlize Theron as mm-hmm. Eileen Wuornos, which
uplifting.
Is uplifting. Yeah. I get, now I got to give her credit. I was shitting on it because, oh, congratulations, you gained weight, you get an Oscar. No, she was incredible. I saw Moneyball for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Insanely amazing. Mm-hmm. I showed Andy Raising Arizona. He'd seen every Coen Brothers except the Holy Grail, Raising Arizona. He'd never seen it.
He calls himself a person you think is funny.
Right. I know. And his
think how much funnier is going to be now.
Right. And I did, Brian, I don't know if you're planning on doing this or doing a Bollywood on it, but we watched the Chicago 7.
You're the second person today to tell me to watch that.
It's pretty awesome. It's Aaron Sorkin. It's essentially a courtroom drama, but not really. It's Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen. I'd be very curious what you think of it.
Okay. We'll check it out for sure.
On the list, Stacy from Florida, 43, wants to share how excited she is to see me in West Palm Beach. Is that true?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Gina. Hey, Bob.
Hi, girl.
Hey. Yeah, I heard your podcast and you announced West Palm Beach, and it is my birthday, so we got VIP tickets, and I'm really excited.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're doing the 20th and 21st. Let's see. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, November. Early show, like 7:30 show is going to be the podcast. Late show is going to be stand-up, and then me and Garagos are doing a live Reasonable Doubt at, I think, 4 o'clock on Saturday. But, yes.
Looking forward to it, and I wanted to give you a report from Florida. Things are going just fine here. Luckily, we have a governor who erred on the side of freedom, and we've been able to open up safely. Everything's open at 100%. Businesses are all back. Everything is good. Everyone is being safe.
I'm glad, because Mike August is always a bundle of nerves when we travel, wiping everything down.
Yeah, checking, head in a swivel.
Mike has his ball sack tucked into his mask. He's grabbing handfuls of other people's pemmican and just shoving jerky into his mouth and talking the entire flight. Like, I've never seen, he literally does not have a care. I will put it to you this way. If you followed Mike August around with a camera pre-COVID-19, like us traveling in 2015 versus in the throes of the pandemic, like I'm talking about April, you know, May, if you follow him around, you could tell there'd be no discernible difference. You'd be curious about the mask that he wore sort of haphazardly, you know, when he got on the plane, but you could not tell through his actions or interactions that there was any modification of his behavior whatsoever. All right.
He's a hero.
He's a hero.
Speaking of modification, Adam, at some point I have to show you the Halloween decorations I saw when I went on my walk today.
Oh, let's do that.
Speaking of modifications.
We have 1780s guy. We have the internet. Oh. We have the Middle East conflict. We have glory holes. I don't even know what that was. I don't remember doing glory holes. Scientology. I don't remember half these ones.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the Middle East conflict. Let's see what that one plays out like.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy. The Middle East conflict.
They're still at it?
Well, they...
That was Adam Explains the Middle East Conflict to 1780s Guy.
It seems like a joke, but not really. The internet. I like the internet because it gave our actor some action. Something to do. And...
And now, Adam Explains to 1780s Guy, the internet.
So an endless array of nubile beauties appear in this magic box? And you have one of these in your home?
Yeah.
Make haste!
That.
That was Adam Explains the internet to 1780s.
Yeah, the hat falling off was the comedy.
It was a nice
make haste.
And let me guess, you wrote make haste.
Oh yeah, I wrote all the 1780s guys, unless someone's deeply offended by it, and then I'll say someone named Josh wrote them, but I can't remember his last name. What is Scientology? I have no idea what this one was.
A deeper cut.
It's a deep cut.
And now, Adam Explains to 1780s Guy, Scientology.
What the fuck?
Sure, that was bleeped.
Yeah.
That was Adam Explains Scientology.
I wrote
the four count of walking
like
after
I wrote all these, and I have no recollection of what his reaction was going to be to Scientology. I think there's like the Kardashians maybe on there. I think Custom Rims is on there. All right, let me hit Madison Reed-Misser, and then Gene, I want you to show us the pictures that you found on your travels today. Working from home, sure. How about folks looking at you on the Zoom call? A little too much gray gathering up around the temples or in the beard. Madison Reed-Misser. So Madison Reed makes great hair coloring. Lynette uses this stuff. Gina uses this stuff. The ladies love it. And they're like, well, we're going to make something good for the men. And that's when Madison Reed Mister was born. You go online, you match up your color, look at the before and the after. No shoe polish look, a little less salt, a little more satisfaction is the way I would say it, a little more pepper in there. It's quick and easy to apply the color gel. I use this stuff. It works well, and it's natural looking. It's Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10.
So what do you got, Gina?
So there I was today walking through your old neighborhood, but the good side. And, you know, on the other side of Magnolia. And minding my own business and getting my steps in, did about 6,000 steps. And there's decorations everywhere. People are very sort of jolly and in the spirit of the holidays, and, you know, in suburbs in the valley. And it's really nice. And I saw one. I was walking down this cul-de-sac and I saw like this big display. And I was like, ooh, interesting. And I couldn't read it from there, but all the ghosts and the goblins and the stuff had like signs hanging from them. And from far away, I thought they were like, you know, like mugshot signs. And I didn't get the joke. So I had to get over there because I thought they were like little prison numbers. I got closer and this is what I saw. So, well, yeah, that's what I saw. Now get closer and we can read what they say. The sort of Hamburglar all the ghosts
COVID victim.
Are COVID victims. It says COVID victim with a number, 206,597,000. Another COVID victim, she's a bride in a ghost costume and a skeletal, says COVID victim number 207,000. Show the spreader.
Oh, this is super spreader.
COVID super spreader dressed like a monster and like a jailbreak, jailbird.
Oh, I think they're doing a little Trump in that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like
kind
of got the red hair. Crazy hair.
Oh, so red handed. Yeah. And the hands. You're doing
the hands, yeah. Well,
yeah, this is what I saw on my walk.
Topical, for sure.
Terrifying for children.
A little preachy, but. I can't figure timely and preachy. What do you think? Is the motivation timely or is the motivation preachy?
Preachy.
Yeah, it seems preachy. I'm going with preachy as well.
This is someone hoping to get their pictures on social media.
Done and done.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I guess we just did it. All right. We got one rich man, poor man here. Glory holes. 1780s guy.
Got to hear it.
I can't even. It's visual.
Yeah. You can explain what happens after the clip.
Oh, okay.
And now Adam explains to 1780s guy, glory holes.
But how do you know there's not a man on the other side?
Whisper.
Great Caesar's ghost. Oh.
That was Adam Explains Glory Holes.
I whispered to him.
Yeah.
You know, in an open field, you had to whisper to him.
Great Caesar's ghost. That guy was a funny actor, wasn't he?
Yeah. So that actor is Greg Alan Johnson. So in one of the videos, he commented, I'm the actor who played 1780s guy, who also did lots of voiceovers for his radio show like over 2 years ago. Is he still playing these bits in the radio show? These and the character were so fun to do. I miss Ace. He's great to work with. And upon doing more research, I just found out he passed away in 2017.
Oh. Yeah. For me, in a world where it's always like, oh, remember all this dialogue and download all this and regurgitate all that.
Oh.
1780s guy, I always loved because we could film 25 of them in a day and I didn't
Back up the top of the hill.
Yeah, we go back up the top of the hill and I didn't have to memorize a goddamn line. I was
just a stutter.
I was just feeding all those lines to Greg.
Yeah, and you had multiple ones. Like for instance, you had two of them for rap music. One was, oh, so what is the difference between bitches and hoes? And then it cuts. And then the next one was, wait, they're all free?
Right.
Yeah.
Like
so,
free slaves.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you get that first drop?
What is the difference? Well, fine, bitches and hoes then.
Okay.
I miss all those. I was just watching. I hadn't. Again, at a certain point, you shit out enough material, you get old enough, you get removed enough, and I end up listening and watching this stuff as if I'm just an audience member. I have no recollection of the glory holes. I wouldn't even – I can remember four of them, but I can't remember 20, all 26 of them.
Great Caesar's Ghost.
Yeah, he thinks there's a comely lass on the other side of the
But how could one be certain?
All right, let's see. There's one rich man, poor man here, and then we'll play the game. Matthew, 40, Washington.
Yes.
Yes.
Rich man, what's up?
You got a rich man, poor man?
I do, and hopefully you can connect the dots on this one. So I'm going to keep it simple. I'll try to tweet it to you. But sells precious metals.
Yes. I mean, right, recycling copper. You know, at the local recycling center versus, you know, selling gold or platinum or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about, right?
Good.
Or I was thinking more like stealing catalytic converters or selling the platinum.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like the guys who get the hacksaws and steal the catalytic converters. All right. We got the Rotten Tomatoes gameplay. I want another 1780s guy. I'm now hooked on. I'm getting high on my own supply, man.
We'll start putting these up on your Instagram, too. They're pretty good bites.
Yeah, there's something satisfying about the format. And also, Greg was so good. And it was always kind of fun to do because I would kind of direct him and coach him. Like, we'd be standing up on the top of the hill, and I'd yell, make haste. And you yell, make haste. And your hat flies off, and you go, like, you know, running off. It was funny just to see this middle-aged guy doing this sort of weird stuff. But
caricature.
Right, but in on it. All right, Max, we got one more. What do we got?
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, rap music.
And in this vernacular, what's the difference between bitches and hoes?
Well, I...
That was Adam explains rap music to 1780s guy.
All right, we'll take a... quick break. We'll come back with the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.